This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
شما در این قرن معجزه کردید. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the exalted, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience. And a particularly warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program dedicated to the life and times of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul. And I'm your host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. I'm joined by Dr. Mahdi Turabi, academic and Islamic scholar. I wish to welcome him to the program on this occasion. Salam, sir.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Mahdi Turabi, we are going to discuss, as usual, some great quotes that Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, mentioned. And of course, they're deep, profound, and still have great implications even today. Because, of course, he understood the real nature of things. Very much like our masoom imams, if I can say. He gave us a taste of that. I'm just saying that, you know, delicately. Because I don't want people to confuse things by what I'm saying. But I'm saying that he gave us a taste of what our imams were like in a bygone era.
Exactly.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ma avalan tashakkur mikunim az hayat dawlat wa millat Iran.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Firstly, I would like to thank the government officials and the Iranian nation who, during this period of war, despite being under intense pressure, powerfully and while preserving the grandeur of Islam, performed well until this obstacle in our way was surmounted. And today, we must talk about certain issues. One among them is that we must not consider the war to be over. We must think as if we are still at war, because our enemy, either our great enemies such as America and the Soviet Union, and others who are the fruits of their sins, such as Saddam and the like, are against Islam and have witnessed how Islam today has turned into a great power. For this reason, in return, they are ever devising schemes.
از این جهت اونها دائما مشغول نقشه کسی هستن و ما نباید از این مسئله غفلت کنیم.
We must not be negligent in this matter. Both the people and the armed forces must be prepared. As for those people who must serve in the front lines, they should pursue this matter and must not waver. Our enemy is one who operates under schemes. It is now possible that this issue is spread in Iran that, well, the issue is settled and what have you. They want to make people waver even though the issue is not settled. They are always after doing the things themselves, even if it is done at the hands of the nations and governments themselves. Because they are unable to do this in Iran, neither the nation nor the government is with them. For this, they take different approaches.
در ایران چون نمیتونن این کار رو بکنن نه ملت با اونهاست نه دولت از این جهت یک راه‌های دیگری که دارند دنبال میکنن از این جهت ما باید بیدار باشیم جبهه‌ها باید پر باشند.
For this reason, we must be awake. People must fill the front lines. We must consider ourselves to be at war. You clearly see that they do not care about anything. Today they declare war, tomorrow they make peace, the next day they declare war once again. For this reason, our armed forces and nation must be prepared.
He's talking about fundamental issues, deep human issues of justice, of recognizing your enemy, recognizing the nature of the oppression that we as the human race are suffering in this world in the 21st century, as we've discussed in other programs related to the wealth, the extreme wealth gap, and so many other issues. So, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, the floor is yours, sir. What did the Imam mean by saying that the war isn't over?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Basically, there's two things we need to discuss here. One is,
sure,
as you said, he understands who the enemy is.
Exactly.
And is not fooled by the enemy,
no,
ever.
Ever.
And that happens only if you know the enemy,
mm-hmm,
properly. I mean, it's not, there's no other way.
Yes.
And what he talked about is that basically after the war, he said, you know, we are still at war. Because, you know, just imagine that time, you know, we just went through the war.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, my mom.
So many sacrifices.
Right.
So
and,
much.
You know, mom says, you know what? We're still at war.
They're still at war. Exactly.
He says, I consider myself still
I
at
mean,
war.
I mean, that speech in which, you know, he referred to the fact that even when the ceasefire was accepted, you know, Imam referred to that as drinking a poisoned chalice. I mean, that was the metaphor that he used, that, you know, this was not the result that he was looking for.
Well, it's not, it's more than that. I mean, he's basically saying is that don't think because...
Yeah, just because
the you know, the military war that they were waging is over, that they stopped their war.
Yeah.
They're waging it with different means.
Means,
now.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So, well,
whether we call it the soft war or whether we call it the economic war,
exactly,
it doesn't matter. Or the nuclear issue.
Right.
It doesn't matter
so
what we
call
it.
So this is the point. And it all goes back to the issue of knowing who the enemy is. And again, all this stuff that we're saying, exactly what also the Supreme Leader is talking about, which is that, you know, when you show flexibility, when you have that heroic flexibility that he talks about, when you negotiate with Satan... Mm. And he says, great Satan.
Great Satan, yes.
He didn't even, he's not trying to, you know.
No, no. I mean, it was not
you named. You know, you remember he's the Satan. You remember it's the great Satan.
Great Satan, yes.
Okay, you don't forget that.
No, I don't forget that. Because the thing was that's what we were talking about before as well. That it's not about just caricaturizing somebody or demonizing your enemy. He's not in that business. He's saying that's it. He's the great Satan.
Right.
I'm pointing to him.
Right.
Look at him, recognize him for what he is, and the wickedness that is going to come out of this Satan.
Exactly. So
exactly.
This is the point in all this.
And I think that resonates today anyway.
Right. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying that this is important to look at Imam, not simply as somebody, you know, he was always on guard. He always understood what was happening around him. He didn't let the smiles of the enemy, he didn't let the grimacing or the threats of the enemy, you know, get him confused about who the enemy really was.
Exactly.
And this enemy, as he says, this enemy is an enemy whose fundamental animosity is with Islam.
Exactly.
It's and why Islam? Because we're not talking about Islam here as simply a historical matter.
No.
We're talking about Islam as the manifestation of divine truth.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
They don't like Islam because Islam is the latest, the final revelation, the latest and the final manifestation of divine
will and
commands. And some of these commands will get in their way of them becoming wealthy and privileged and keeping their wealth and privilege and being above the law.
Exactly.
Okay, this is the nature of the affair and has always been the same.
Always been like this.
Okay,
exactly.
This is not something that because somehow we're living in a different period, things have fundamentally or essentially changed.
No.
This is what certain people who say modernity is you know, has fundamentally changed things. No, nothing fundamentally
changed. Has changed
because
anything.
Humans haven't fundamentally changed.
Sure.
I'm talking about the essence of humans.
Exactly,
okay?
Wonderfully put. Because,
you
I
know?
Mean, this is,
so,
this is a
so
point.
So when humans are still the same... You can't say things have fundamentally changed.
Sure,
It's about nafs. It's about Jihad al-Akbar. Mm-hmm. It's about Jihad al-Nafs.
Sure.
It's about, you know, that inner struggle. Mm-hmm. It's about trying to get to a higher level of consciousness and existence and understanding and ma'rifah.
Sure.
It's about getting close to Allah.
And the other thing is that...
God,
yeah,
you know.
And the Imam is also pointing out...
So this is the way it's always been.
Exactly. And what I wanted to fundamentally say there was that the Imam, God bless his soul, was pointing out, not in terms of, demonizing or calling names that this is the great Satan. He's saying there are Satans in power. This is a fundamental Quranic concept that you've, you know, because... Man can be higher than angel or less than animal.
Exactly.
And what he's pointing out there is that the wrong kind of people are in power.
Right. And he's saying that, don't think because, you know, we were successful in repelling Saddam's armies and...
Yeah.
And that, you know, there's no more rockets being shot or there's no more, you know, whatever, air raid sirens.
Sure.
Doesn't mean that the war is over.
Yeah.
The war has shifted to a new field.
Exactly.
And that new field is different things, whether it's cultural, whether it's economic, whether it's, you know, putting pressure, psychological warfare. And that's why he says, you know, I consider myself to be at war right now still. And because this is the thing, people get confused about the affairs that happen in their lives, thinking that something essentially or fundamentally changes, thinking that somehow the enemy has become a different person now or the essence of the enemy has changed. Mm. If whenever you see, you know, an enemy or you know, a person or a movement or a society, you know, standing in front of those truths which God has revealed in terms of being the order of things where certain lines cannot be transgressed, then they're the enemy that way. It doesn't matter if they're smiling at you. It doesn't matter if they're not, you know, hurling, you know, rockets at you, they're still your enemy.
Exactly.
They're going to try to get to their goal in a different way.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I think this is something we need to learn today. I think we kind of forget that sometimes.
Yes.
Maybe because, you know, people like us, we actually saw him and we experienced him. It's kind of seared in our minds and we don't, you know, alhamdulillah, this was a big blessing from Allah that we were able to see him in our own lives. Mm. But people who haven't seen him, maybe the younger generation.
Yes.
This is why it was very correct what you were saying, that we got a taste of it. So when you get the taste of it, you can't go back after that.
Exactly.
You know, you can't slack off. And unfortunately, we see people do that, even people who did see him.
Hmm.
Even people who were his companions.
Hmm.
Just the way you saw people who were, you know, with the Prophet or with Imam Ali alayhi salam, with the Prophet, peace be upon him, that they didn't understand.
They didn't understand.
And yet people who never saw those two with their own eyes, they completely understand.
They completely understand, yes. This is a great irony as well.
So, you know, you have to look at this man. I'm talking about Imam Khomeini.
Mm.
And it's an amazing thing because here is a man and he's telling you exactly the way things are, as you said, understanding the nature of things.
Mm.
And at the moments where people would usually be dominated by their emotions
or perhaps not want to hear the truth.
Right. Or want to indulge their, you know...
fantasies about whatever.
Right. Or let's just say it in a positive way, who would want to give themselves, you know, a few moments of relief and delusion and illusion and fantasy in terms of how things should be.
Mm.
You know, the war has ended. You know, let's celebrate.
No, the war is not ended.
Right? And here he is, he's saying, no, the war is not ended.
No, because, of course, the war isn't over because, you know, there is an imam still waiting in the wing to appear again.
Exactly.
So how can we let off any steam, put it that way? I mean, we can have a little bit of R&R, you know, just to sort of recharge our batteries. But the fundamental thing is that we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that what is this all aiming for?
Exactly.
Exactly. And this is the thing we want to make, as we said, the mandate, the divine mandate from the Holy Quran, a reality. And it can't become a reality unless we don't do our bit. And that's the whole point, isn't it? Because this is what he's pointing out, that look, you know, this world is very, very ugly. There are people in power, corrupt politicians, and we know them. We We don't even vote now. You know, even in Scotland, we don't vote. And we don't vote because we know what they are. We've seen their nature now. We know they're even the media, even the corporate media comes out with liar or economical with the truth. And, you know, expenses scandals and right. stuff like this. I don't need to go through all that. The point is that whether we are talking about in Europe or in the US, it doesn't matter. The Imam was essentially pointing out to us that, look, this is just the beginning.
Right.
We've started on a path here where we are trying to make the program of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the program that was given for the perfection of mankind, a reality. How is this reality going to manifest itself in the light of the fact that we are surrounded by the great Satan? How do you deal with this? Thank you, Dr. Matthew.
Exactly. So, you know, this is why people like Imam are important, because they guide us and they make us really understand, because you were talking about Quranic understanding. This is what the Quran is telling us. This is what God has revealed through the Quran, is that, you know, your life is struggle.
Your life is struggle, exactly.
It's struggle in the good sense, where you're doing, where you're trying to constantly get to the next level and strive for. And of course, you know, one day it is over, but, you know, not in this world.
Not in this world, right? Exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that.
And, you know, just so that we understand this correctly, because we have to say this completely, this is where you understand what Imam Ali alayhi salam means when he says that this world is the...
is the farm, the field
in which you sow for the next world.
Exactly.
So it's not like you're just randomly struggling and Allah is just throwing you little, you know, curveballs where you don't know what to do. It's basically you're building your akhirah.
Okay. Exactly.
So really the goal is to get to the point where you can see when you're doing something or when you're, you know, refraining from something, which you're not supposed to do, where you can actually see the akhirah of it, right? Like, why don't we get into namaz or into the prayer the way some urafa do? Why are they so into it and we're not?
Quite.
Because they see the reality of their prayer.
This is where we're into it.
You know, they're praying for an hour, and you're like, "Well, what's going on?" He's like, "Well, you don't know where I am right now."
Quite.
Okay. Or, you know, there's that famous riwayat. I mean, you're a bigger expert on riwayat, where, you know, it's in heaven or it's in the next world or, you know, and, or it's with Allah, and they ask Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, like, "Would you go back?" He says, you know,
he says
the only reason I would go back is so that I would, you know, fast in the summer and do wudu in the winter's night.
That's right.
Which, you know,
I'm trying to remember the source now, but right? I mean, yes, you're absolutely right.
I'm just simply pointing out, this is just an illustration of what we're talking about. I can't remember the exact reference to it, but basically it's like, okay, some of the hardest in terms of just worship, some of the hardest worships are, you know, fasting during the summer, where you have, you know,
very
15,
long
16 days
and also high temperatures.
Right. And then also the other thing, which is a little unpleasant sometimes, is, you know, and remember, he's referring to a time where we didn't have, you know, indoor plumbing and hot water at a, you know, from coming out of the tap. You have to go out to the well and pump the water and break the ice.
Yes.
And, you know, do your wudu.
Wudu, yeah.
So here he is, he's saying, you know, those are the two things which were the best things in this world. When he gets there, he realizes, wow, those are the things that built my akhirah.
Those were the things that built my akhirah.
So we're looking at this war, because people are saying, well, wow, what is this thing Imam is talking about? Always war and struggle, and why can't we just chill out, and why can't we just relax? And
love everybody.
And the point is, well, if you understand it, what you're doing, and the reality of it, and you go, well, how can I understand it? I mean, again, you know, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. Mm. Well, it has to do with self-purification. I mean, it has to do with really looking at making an inventory or making an audit, whatever you want to call it, of your life, your everyday life, you know, what you do throughout the day.
I mean, this is a thing.
How where's your money coming from? Is it really halal? I mean, is it really
exactly?
Are there problems there? How do you treat your family? How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your children? How do you treat your mother?
Wonderful.
How do you treat your father? How do you treat your, you know, the brothers and sisters around you who are, whether they are your biological brothers or sister, or whether
your spiritual brothers
and, you know,
and
we've got all these rivayat about, you know, the haq that one moment has
over another.
And, you know, we don't even, we like totally pass by it. Like, we're like, oh yeah, you have haq a moment. You're like, dude, not that simple.
I mean, this is the thing that the imam is talking about, because these are all, this is the difficulty of this struggle. I mean, to comprehensively live God's commandment is no joke.
Exactly.
It's not a joke. This is what I fear. You know, there's a wonderful thing I heard from one ulama, and I don't mean to digress, but we're on the same thing here. That really, you know, because of our shortcomings, he says, live between Alhamdulillah and Astaghfirullah. Live between those two levels. Right?
That's very good.
Wonderful. I mean, that's the way I feel. God, I am inadequate. I am in Farsi, as they say, and the only one Farsi word that I've learned, zisht. I understand that now. I got it.
Right.
And I want to get out of that level, but I don't know how. And the only thing is that examples like this imam, who says that you should have this framework, this mentality, that you're constantly at war with everything in this world. Not because you hate it, no. But no, it's because essentially...
I don't even know if we can use the word war.
I know. It's struggle.
It's jihad.
Jihad.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how you can define it in English.
Let's just call it jihad.
Let's call it jihad.
In English.
In English.
Call it jihad akbar.
Let's call jihad it jihad akbar. Yes, because that's the one. That's the one. Jihad akbar. The greater one. That was the one that the Prophet spoke about. Right.
So they come
the
back. They come back from the war. And they're like, oh, okay, you did jihad akbar. Now you have to do jihad akbar.
Jihad akbar. The purification.
So this is what Imam is telling them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they've just come back from the war. Mm-hmm. This is what Imam Khomeini is telling them.
Exactly.
Right?
And Imam Khomeini is also pointing out, you know, and he does that in his will as well. He doesn't quote these hadiths for the sake of the fact that, oh, this is just traditional. You know, we've been seeing it for the last 1400 years.
Right.
He's quoting that particular hadith because it has a profound effect on the way you're going to be guided to your goal. And that is essentially when he says, embark on the ship of Noah, the salvation of Noah, the ship of salvation of Prophet Noah, peace be upon him, because the Ahlul Bayt are like this, right? And if you don't do that, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get confused. You're going to get confused about your enemy. You're going to get confused about your economy. You're going to get confused about your mother and father. You're going to get confused about a whole range of things, which when you die, as Imam Ali alayhi salam says, these people are sleeping.
When they die, they wake up.
And when they awake, then they realize, oh.
Exactly. And there's worse, the worst than that is when the day of judgment comes.
Yes.
That's it. It's the full reality. Even when you die, you're going to barzakh. There's still some filters, some connection here and there, still some level where Allah is like, you know, sparing you the pain of understanding the reality of what you did. You're still given a little opportunity to, you know. Spruce up things. But then, you know, that's why it's called Yom al Hadid.
It's sharpness, it's steel.
You suddenly realize, oh my God, this is what's happening. So all this we're saying in order to understand when a person like Imam Khomeini, again, not a masoom.
No, not a masoom.
Like me and you.
No.
In the sense that, you know.
This is the wonderful thing about him.
Is saying, look, you know, you're at war. Mm. Don't think any differently.
Yep.
The enemy is still that enemy. Mm. They're still against God, and they're still against God's truth and God's commands. Mm. And this is not something you should be upset about. I'm worried. I think we have this thing among a lot of us, and I'm including myself. I'm not trying to say I'm better than anyone. No. I'm worse than anyone in all this.
Sure.
Where we kind of want to be Muslim, but we don't want to really. We also want to have that kind of kafir way of living,
doing things. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I like that.
Like that attitude. Like yeah. You know, we're like it's like lifestyle Muslim.
Lifestyle Muslim,
and I don't mean lifestyle in the way you know that people talk about it today, or the Supreme Leader has talked about it in terms of Islamic lifestyle. It's like, okay, you know, we'll do everything and live exactly like kafirs. We'll just do it with a beard.
Do it with a beard. Yes.
You know, we'll do it with hijab.
We'll do it with a hijab.
You know, we'll you know, people after lunch, you know, they'll go and have a smoke. We'll go have our prayer.
Yeah.
You know, at work.
At work. Yeah.
Otherwise, hey, we're just like you.
We're just like you.
Right? And I think that's good when you look at a person like Imam.
Having lived in the West, that resonates.
You know, when you look at a person like Imam, and you're thinking, no. That's not the way it works.
No, that's not the way
and
it
I'll
works.
And I'll give you another example, which is worse than this example which we were talking about, or this Western kind of. You look at certain people who are officials, politicians, who are running the affairs of a nation, and in this case, we're talking about the Islamic Republic, right?
Mm. Quite.
And what they end up doing is they end up running the nation and being an official and being a politician exactly the same way as non-Muslims would be.
Yes,
with a beard.
With a beard. Yes, right? Yes. That's the qualification.
With a hijab.
With the hijab.
With like, you know, with chador.
Yeah, with double chadors.
Right. Yeah. With like, you know, Islamic dress.
Yes. And
so, you know,
you go
instead of like going out for the cigarette break with the interns or with like, you know, the junior staff.
Yes. You have the adhan.
You do the adhan and you do the prayer room.
Prayer. Yes.
Do you understand?
I've got you completely.
So again, I'm saying all this, and then you look at Imam and you're like, Imam wasn't like that. He didn't. He wasn't a leader like.
No.
He wasn't. He was because you know he was obviously the leader of a revolution. He was the leader of a nation. He was
he was
the commander.
Leader,
he was the commander of a war. Right. He wasn't some big. He wasn't like Gandhi. You know, the Shia version of Gandhi.
The Shia version of
you know
Gandhi.
What I mean? Astaghfirullah, right?
Yeah, astaghfirullah.
So we were too he was leaders. He was just something different.
He was. Because he was living Quran. Right. That's what made him different.
Exactly. So he led. Mm. He led a nation. He led a revolution. Mm. He commanded a war. Mm. Quranically.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to point out something
you understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm just wanting to point out something.
So here you have him, the commander of an army. And any other leader who had just conducted 8-year war successfully.
Absolutely.
When the people are coming back, and when the troops are coming back, and when everybody's, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Would anybody else ever would have said, hey, the war is continuing?
Yeah, the war's still on. I got news for you.
I got news for you.
You know,
thanks for all this. I got news for you. We're still at war.
We're still at war.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've talked about these examples. Or, you know, Khorram Shad is liberated.
And he said God liberated.
And instead of being like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
You know. Good on boys, you know, like
we're almost there.
You know, he's like, God liberated.
God liberated.
He flies into Tehran. Uh-huh. It's like, you know, years of exile.
Exile,
and,
yes.
And like, how do you feel?
Feel, and he says, Hitch.
Hitch. Nothing.
Nothing.
So,
yeah.
I think the lesson to conclude in the short period that we have to discuss these vast matters is that what we can see with Imam. Mm. Is you always have to look at the matter and your life and the things you do and the things you say and the reactions that you have. You have to always look at the otherworldly reality of them. You have to think to yourself, okay, I'm the commander. If you're the commander, as he was, of a nation and an army, okay, now they're coming back. What do I say to them? And then and because obviously he's an Islamic scholar. And he's fully, you know,
immersed
himself in Islam.
In those teachings, yes.
He says, well, when they came back, what did the Prophet tell them? The Prophet said, hey, you've done the Jihad al-Asghar, now it's time for Jihad al-Akbar.
And he said more or less the same sort of thing, hasn't he?
Exactly.
Thank you. On that note, Dr. Mahdi Tarawi, thank you very much for your contribution on the life and times of Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. We're still inspired by him. It just leaves me to thank my listeners and to say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you for listening and goodbye. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.